Good morning, everyone. My name is Gurpreet Virk, and I'll be presenting on behalf of Dr. Snyder. I'm Dr. Snyder's graduate student. Because of some family emergency, he was unable to attend the Beltwide this year. I'll try my best because my knowledge is limited on this project, so all I know is what he told me about it, so I have my little notes if I get stuck on some of the slides, so please bear with me. I would like to start by showing the yield data from a two-year study that we'll talk more about as we proceed through the presentation. It was basically done in year 2013 and 2014. The year 2013 corresponded to the wet year, and 2014 was the dry year. The y-axis on both the graphs is the lint yield, and the x-axis corresponds to the five different irrigation treatments, T1 to T5. The T1 corresponds to the maximum amount of irrigation application, and T5 is the minimum amount of irrigation being applied, that is the rain-fed treatment. As we can see in the wet year, the different irrigation treatments did not have any significant effect on the lint yield being a wet year, but in 2014, which was a dry year, different irrigation applications resulted in different amount of lint yield. The lint yield decreased with the decrease in the amount of irrigation application, suggesting the importance of irrigation during the dry year. Yield can be simplified as the product of total seed number per acre and the average lint yield weight per seed. And the yield can be influenced by influencing these two factors, which can be done in a number of ways. For example, if we have drought conditions, drought stress, then the seed numbers, keeping the total seed numbers the same, but due to drought, if the lint weight decreases, then it also affects the yield. Or if the total number of seeds remains the same, but the ball density decreases, that can also affect the yield, or the combination of both the factors can also influence the total yield. Before going into the effect of water deficiency on fiber quality, we'll be going in somewhat detail the pattern of fiber development. The fiber elongation starts on the day of flowering to 20 days after enthesis. And the second phase, that is the fiber thickening, overlaps somewhat with fiber elongation and starts from 15 days to 45 days after enthesis. Fiber maturation is taking place with fiber thickening. Drought stress during fiber elongation affects the length, and the drought stress during the fiber thickening phase affects the strength. We have already discussed the two yield components, the total number of seeds and the lint weight. Instead of those, there are some other intra-ball yield components like the fibers per seed, fiber density, and mass per fiber. With this, the objective of the study was to quantify the contributions of different yield components to water-induced yield and fiber quality loss. As mentioned, the study was conducted in year 2013 and 2014 in Stripling Irrigation Research Park, University of Georgia, Tifton, with two cotton cultivars and five irrigation treatments. Out of the five irrigation treatments, the three were based on the pre-dawn water potential measurements, with leaf sampled from fourth main stem node below the apical meristem 3 days per week, and it was a split plot design with four replications. The first graph here shows the pre-dawn water potential values at different days for the year 2014 for five different irrigation treatments. We can see there are subsequent differences among different irrigation treatments for the water potential values, with the dry land having the least values for the water potential compared to the other treatments. Now, coming on to the results, the first table here shows the water potential values during different growth stages, that is squaring, early flowering, and ball development for both 2013 and 2014 for five different irrigation treatments. For 2013, different growth stages, no significant differences were observed in water potential values for any of the irrigation treatment. But for 2014, different irrigation treatments during different growth stages resulted in significant differences in water potential values. especially the early flowering and ball development stage, resulted in extreme differences among the water potential values out of the three growth stages. The table here is the ANOVA table for the different yield components, with irrigation as a main effect cultivar and their interaction effect. For year 2013, it seems like the lint yield was significantly affected by irrigation, but the whole model was not effective. There was the other ball components that did not have any significant effect, irrigation effect. But for 2014, the irrigation had a significant effect on the lint yield and all other ball, all other yield components. So from now onwards, the main focus will be on the data for 2014, not on the 2013. The table here shows the irrigation effects on the yield components. The lint yield and ball density showed similar trend. They were found to decrease with the decrease in amount of irrigation being applied, that is with the increase in the drought stress. Seed cotton per ball and seed index only showed differences, only show a decrease at the extreme stress level values, that is T4 and T5. And the lint percentage showed an opposite effect to lint yield and ball density. It increased with increase in stress. The table here is for the intra-ball yield component, the effect of different irrigation treatments on them. Seeds per ball and seed surface area again showed a similar trend. They decreased with the decrease in irrigation application, that is increased in the stress level, which caused a decline in number of fibers per seed. Then these are the different fiber quality parameters, p-value, again with irrigation cultivar and irrigation and cultivar as main effect. Here, length and micronair was found to be significantly affected by irrigation treatment, and these affect the overall fiber quality score. When looking at the effect on the various fiber quality parameters, the fiber length was found to decrease, significantly decrease with the decrease in application of irrigation, and micronair was found to increase with the stress level, that is with decrease in the amount of irrigation. And this resulted in lower fiber quality index. When looked at the correlation between the lint yield and various parameters of interest, various intra-ball yield components, and the water potential values, they were found to be correlated, but the ball density was found to be strongly correlated with lint yield, and strength was found to be negatively correlated. The two graph here shows the contributions of yield components. The y-axis on both the graphs shows the lint yield, and x-axis is the five different treatments. For the first graph, the yield is the product of ball density, seed number per ball, lint mass per seed. And for the second, the yield is the product of ball density, seed cotton weight per ball, and lint percentage. As we can see from the first graph, the total yield that's shown by open squares follows a similar trend with the ball density. It decreases with the increase in the stress, whereas the increase in lint mass per seed is compensated by decrease in seeds per number. Similarly, for the second graph, again, the total yield follows a similar trend as ball density, and the changes in the other two are counterbalanced by each other. For the conclusions, a significant effect of irrigation treatments were observed on lint yield during dry year, but the wet year did not have any effect because the different irrigation doesn't mean anything, which indicates the importance of irrigation during the dry year to minimize the yield loss. Also, various yield components and interball components were found responsible for water-induced yield loss, thus affecting the fiber development and quality. Thank you. I think I was pretty fast. I'll try my best to answer any questions, or if I don't know the answer, I'll refer it to Dr. Snyder. Yes, sir.
I had a great job on the presentation.
Thank you.
We did some work in Texas where it's a drier climate, and we observed something similar, that about 90% of our yield loss was due to bull number, and then about the other 10% was due to, you know, bull size, seed size, et cetera. It looks to me like what you saw was fairly similar to that, even though, you know, different growing environment, different cultivars.
Yes, it was from both the graphs we can see. It was following the same trend. Even we used the different definitions for the yield, different components. As the yield components, it was still following, declining the same pattern as with the ball density. And other factors, they were counterbalancing each other. I don't think so they have as much effect as the ball density on the yield. Yes, sir.
Development of the boll load through the season.
Mm-hmm.
All the bolls have different stages of development and different demands and need for the water. So it's almost like the individual bolls will suffer differently depending on where they are in that development. And I would be wondering, then that's where the timing of stress would have a great impact
on the
bolls are mostly developed or just starting to make bolls or squares and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was the basic pattern, like when the stress is happening, is it affecting the length, or is it affecting the strength, or is it affecting something else? Yes.
It would affect, like, the bottom bowls different than
the top ones.
If they were all green at the time of the stress, then I would expect different impact. It would be interesting then. That would be a lot of work, but to partition the bowls out by bowl age during the period of stress to see how the final cumulative effect is your yield, to see how that would affect the seed size and fiber length and all that kind of thing. So.
Well, I have nothing to say about it, but I'll for sure convey it to Dr. Snyder.
We keep you up here for another 10 minutes if you want.
I can finish my next one. Thank you so much.